NPK, the NPK show. NPK, to all the listeners around the world, you're listening to NPK Live.
Hello everyone, it's only me, Steve, and we've got podcast 158. But what on earth are we talking about today? Well, to be honest, nothing. Absolutely nothing. What we're doing is we're going to do NPK Live Best Bits. So today I've been going through with Coatsy some of the best bits from the early podcasts, and Coatsy's downloaded all the audio, tweaked it to make it sound a little bit better. And you get to hear some top tips, some of the people we interviewed, and some of the best bits from the first 50, I think it's from the first 50 podcasts. And reason being is because we're just absolutely up the wall busy. The Autopop Festival's coming up very soon. We'll be doing a podcast on that once we've been to it, maybe even podcast from it. And we have got NPK Media, which is absolutely flying. It's taken off quicker than anybody could have imagined, so a lot of work to do for that. And the shop, it's just been manic. So I don't want to just leave you alone, no, not give you any podcast. And this is going to be really good for people that are just sort of tuning into NPK Live podcast, and save you having to go back through all the old podcasts when the sound quality was a bit shit. And yeah, it's just much easier. So we've got about a half an hour podcast for you to listen to, some of the best bits, and each little section's going to be in, coaches, you're going to do like a little bit of a jingle, aren't you, between each one. So have a listen. We're going to be back properly in September. So we're going to be doing, the next 4 weeks are going to be full of NPK Live best bits. If you've got any questions about anything, we're never leaving you alone. So make sure you get in touch through Instagram at NPK_hydroponics. Ring the shops if you need to, if you're in the UK, 0151 228 8306. Because we're always here for you. So we're not leaving you alone. We're just taking a little summer break as we normally do. And we'll be back full pelt September, ready to go again for the new growing season. So I'm going to leave it with you. I'm going to leave Coatsy with you to give you some of the best bits. And enjoy the summer. Enjoy the hot weather. We'll be podcasting from Autopot. I hope you all have an amazing August. Spend some time with family. And just enjoy this hot weather, because in Britain, it doesn't really last that long, does it? So making sure you're fully covered up, don't get burned, and just have a great summer. Let's listen to the podcast, and I'll be back to sign off. So see you in a bit.
Welcome to NPK's podcast. We're talking about an introduction to hydroponics.
We have myself, Stephen,
Jay,
and Thomas from NPK Technology.
So we've decided to put together a few podcasts for you to listen to, whether you're in the gym or in the car. We're talking about an introduction to hydroponics and get you all up to speed and up to date on what it is. Next few weeks, we'll have Oxy with us. Next few weeks, talking about hydroponics, medium, and an introduction to growing, different growing method. And finally, talking about your specific knowledge on tents and what's best to use.
Yeah, I'll be having a chat to you about different types of tent and pros and cons of buying silver, white, different poles, different styles, different things. Also talking about some other good new products. We'll be talking about some biostimulants and all lots of other little stuff.
Looks good. We've got some nice bits of paperwork in front of us here. Some nice charge.
And also, I'm going to investigate the benefits of these products and what the beneficial side to all of these products in the growth of indoor plants has.
You've been testing all these products for the last 3 or 4 weeks, haven't you?
Yeah.
So I've got some specific knowledge as well. So everything that we're talking about has all been tested by ourselves and by our friends, so we know exactly what it's saying, what it's doing, the pros and cons. You're choking there on the water.
Oh, yeah. Foxy. I'm having a bit of a choke.
So for people who don't really know and they want to find out what's hydroponics, what was your take on what is hydroponics?
Oh, you're asking me? Okay.
Well, it's a tough question to start off with this, Foxy.
Hydroponics, in simplest terms, is growing plants without any soil.
Hello, guys. You're back with MPK Live, and we've got the boys from Autopot.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jason. I'm the owner of Autopot. We're at the nurseries today with the guys from MPK and a few other friendly faces.
And I'm Dan. I'm the business development manager for Autopot.
And, of course, we have our trusted
Thomas from MPK as well. So today we're going to talk about, we're here, as you can hear some background noise. So we're just going to let Jason tell us what's going on today, Jason.
Right, this is, last year we did an open day. So all those people familiar with Autopot, it's a watering system. So last year we did an open day for all our distributors, our stores in the UK and overseas. And it was a good success last year. Weather was fantastic. Had a pig roast, a big open day. Walked around the greenhouse explaining how things work, different tips, all that sort of stuff. This year, we've done it again. We've had 2 days, one on Thursday for the distributors and manufacturers, and one today for Thai people because we're growing loads of Thai herbs. We've been selling to them all season. And also the stores here today has probably been, I'd probably say, about 150, 200 people.
Quite it's been a really good nice turnout, day. Nice weather, good food, very good food.
Excellent. Spot on.
Yeah, really well.
Great presentation.
Yeah. Very good presentation. Yeah, definitely.
To be honest, it's a shame that you're having to listen to this because the weather is amazing. The greenhouses were spot on. And just the setups is just, it was a pleasure to walk around.
Thanks,
what do you think?
Yeah, to be honest, yeah, as you all very well know, we're big on growing and seeing some really amazing plants here today, all grown in auto pot systems, which Jason will probably explain a little bit more about in a second, but really impressed with the setup here. We'll have some images on Facebook for you later on and Instagram also.
Yeah, cool.
Well, we've been really pleased with the turnout as well. I mean, on Thursday, all of our UK distributors came down, but we also had distributors who come over from Slovenia, Holland.
Yeah.
They'd simply come over to see us, flown in the morning, come and see us in the daytime, stayed in a hotel, then disappeared off the next day. So, yeah, it's been really, really good.
Nice. And we're also on the pathway to Heathrow Airport, so that's Autopot Airlines ready to pick up the
that's
people.
That's Jason's jet.
Oh, that's nice. That looked like a Concorde. That. Yeah, that's a bomber.
That's the new MPK jet. So if you need a home delivery service, just let us know.
Or if you're thinking about if you're thinking about opening up a shop, that might come over. tell you not to open
Heat
up a shop.
Heat-seeking metal out.
Not really. Right, my opinion, one of the single greatest things about Autopot is it doesn't require electricity. And in this day and age, that's a great system to be able to water your plants with no electricity. And it's a gravity-fed watering system.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been a grower, I've grown everything in my life. I do a lot of consultancy for governments around the world now. I've been growing for 22, 25 years. And I've pretty much used, I would say, every single NFT, flood and drain, deep water culture, you name it, I've grown in it over the years. Great systems, all of them. With regards to simplicity, without blowing my own trumpet, Autopot, without counting hand watering, is probably the simplest and easiest to use system that there is. The way it works, in layman's terms, if you have a reservoir, a tank, a container of water, and have it connected to a pipe and then to our modular systems, the gravity pressure is all that you need. There is no power, there is no timers, there are no computers, there's nothing. It's just a little valve in a tray that allows water from the reservoir to travel down the pipe into the tray and flood this tray to 20 mil to a preset level and then stop. So the plant's then sitting in the tray, and you can do trays up to 2 square meters if you can find a tray that's 2 square meters. Plonk the trays in there, the plants drink the water, and when there's no water left in that tray, this little valve that's sitting in the tray will reopen and flood the tray again. So in layman's terms, it's the only system in the world that allows the plants to be in control of their own requirements without human intervention and without pumps, timers, electricity, computers or anything. And the great thing is it never wastes one drop of water. We proved over the years with some big nurseries in the UK where we would save between 45 and 50% of water and feed in a year on this commercial nursery that grows 250,000 pepper plants. We would save them if we flipped the whole nursery from NFT or run to waste NFT to Autopot, we'd save them 10 million litres of water a year. We did another one as well, I just remember this one. We want to design a hanging basket. Hanging baskets, they reckon 10 million litres of water a year is wasted by people watering through and dropping on the ground.
I've said that when we was watering ours this year.
We did the calculations, this is years ago. Well, based on the calculations that are known about traditional
Give us some figures,
now,
we love
right?
it.
If We changed everybody in the UK to auto-pot hanging baskets.
Yeah.
And you can, we've got the design already, just need to make it. You would save the old Wembley Stadium every week full of water. So if that was filled, that's how much water, volume of watering.
Yeah.
Every week from watering. So if you were, if you suddenly changed all the hanging baskets to autopot in the UK, and there was no more hand watering cans or drippers, the amount of water would save every week would be the old Wembley Stadium full of water.
That's a good
start. That's a serious amount of water, isn't it?
No more, and not only just the water, think about how much energy is used in other resources to create that water as well.
That would allow us to do these ice bucket challenges with no
that'd be great.
With no comebacks.
One thing I've particularly paid attention to today is the fact that as we've got our allotments in charity and we do things with the youth centres and stuff, and being down at the allotments, there's not a single auto pot system on there.
No.
And when I've been in your polytunnels today, I've been overwhelmed by your results.
Cheers.
So I think the main thing I'm trying to get to the point of is people's awareness. Mm-hmm. And I think that's our duty as a store.
To teach
and
people.
Especially in our area, because we are down at the allotment and with the charity as well. So we definitely need to implement them in the grows for next year.
For any businesses that might be listening as well that are into the grow, and just take on them stats, how much water you're going to save. And for any businesses that are looking to be sustainable and to promote the green culture that's coming flourishing through, it's auto pots.
But even for your home, vegetables, you know, it's an easy, as Jason stated, it's a gravity fed system, so you don't need no electricity.
Yeah.
It's simple to use, simple to put together, and with really, really good results, which I can say I've seen with my own eyes.
I've even
picked a few as well.
Yeah, I often use my mum as a guinea pig, and she has a little the propagation tip with all the mints and herbs and all that sort of stuff. So she gets a little bit of guinea pig. And the new product that you brought out.
Oh, the easy to go.
The easy to grow. Basically, she was guinea pig for it. So outside in the garden, she had, it was just an ornamental plant. I can't remember what variety it was, but she left one of the buckets outside and I brought her a tray with a valve, set it all up for her. And she had to call me two or three days later. She was like, Stephen, it seems to be getting a bit out of control. Can you come and have a look at it for me?
Welcome to MPK's podcast. And we've got a belter one for you this week. It's with Canna. And we have the pleasure of having Peter and Chris, the UK rep. And Mark, who's going to be the rep for Australia. And as usual, we have Thomas.
Yeah, once again, I'm here in the background, as usual.
Myself. So I'm just going to do Mark. How are you?
Good. Good morning. How are you? Well, thank you.
We have a few listeners in Australia, and I thought it'd be good to introduce yourself because they may be seeing you over there soon. And
before you just say anything, we like to have a little laugh on the show. So can you please say for me, put another shrimp on the barbie?
We don't say shrimp, we just say prawns.
Go on, so give
put,
us it.
Put another prawn on the barbie, mate.
That's a good start for our podcast today.
There we go.
So what are you going to be doing anyway?
So I'm pretty much just the same role as Chris in the UK, but in Australia. And just going around doing a bit of product support and whatnot where I can. But I'm over here at the moment just touring around with Peter, absorbing as much information from this from the Canna guru as I can.
He is the Canna guru, let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, we had the lecture last night, which was really impressive. If you didn't manage to make it, then you need to knuckle down and get down in next year for the next one that we'll be having.
Well, it was
intensive, and it was well worth it. Absolutely brilliant lecture by Peter. How are you?
Thank you. Good morning. Yes, I'm fine.
Yeah. Sleep well?
I sleep well. Yes, good. It was good to be in the UK.
Excellent. Not with this weather, it's not. You came in on the tail end of that hurricane.
Gonzales,
yeah.
Well, it's more or less the same as the Netherlands.
Yeah, true. So what do you do with Canna? What's your
role? My profession is a Bachelor of Science in Plant Growing, and what I try to do is to translate difficult language, which we find out in plant growing, make it more common so normal people understand what they are doing. And even a lot of times my language is still quite difficult for them, but I try to do my best.
Yeah, you did very well last night, even though some of it was...
And when Pete says he tries to explain this in simple forms, I'm still putting the pieces of my brain together this morning. So, however though, the information that was given out yesterday, basically, in layman's terms, just lets you realise that
there's an equilibrium in a plant, and there's a lot of different steering wheels, as he continuously pointed out to us yesterday, and he named up to 10 steering wheels, different factors what are going to affect your plants and how to balance these out. And once you have a perfect balance, you'll have a perfect plant and a perfect environment for your plant to live in.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's correct.
But it was a lot more intense than that, I shall say.
Mind-melting.
Yes, mind-melting. What did we actually cover yesterday?
Climate control and CO2.
Yeah, climate control and CO2. I think it was we on best part of 2.5 hour lecture?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, something like
that. A bit more than that, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I think we started at 7.
Finished at midnight.
I shocked myself when it was 11 o'clock, thinking it was around 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Desperate text messages to the missus going, flies. Didn't realise it was this time. I'll be home in a bit. But it was time flew over, like 4 hours of pure knowledge.
If you had some tips for our listeners, Pete, just maybe a quick glance at what we talked about yesterday, but any top tips for our listeners out there? You know, we've got a lot of customers who, you know, they're not big scale growers. They just have a few plants, and but they don't realise how much biology's involved in growing plants, and how much different things, different elements and components can alter a plant's life cycle. If we could simplify that and we could give a couple of tips out, what would you recommend, Pete?
First of all, one of the topics was CO2.
Yeah.
And although a lot of people think it's quite hard, actually it's simple because we blow in CO2. And so as long you are in your grow room or in your neighborhood of your plants and you start talking to them, like Grandma said, it means you are blowing in CO2, and that means the plants are growing better as they normally do. So please stay as long as possible with your plants, look what they are doing, learn from them, and in the meanwhile, you give them CO2.
Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to episode 16, and I'm with Thomas, and Thomas is with
Stephen?
Yeah, that was a bit of a weird introduction, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Nearly messed that one up.
Yeah, still sounds okay.
How's your weekend been?
Me which?
Your weekend.
My weekend?
Is your weekend?
My weekend's been not bad.
So what's been going on anyway?
Okay, so MPK, as you all know, we're a very active store. We're constantly incubating chicks and ducks, and soon we'll have a donkey and maybe a sheep and a rabbit and a cat.
But if you get your way, we will.
Oh, yeah. I want a giraffe.
I heard an alligator was on the horizon.
Well, we did try and get, I don't know whether we was touching on the doorstep of illegality, but we did try and acquire an alligator egg. But I think there was some rules and regulations over keeping an alligator in the shop. So, but if anybody happens to have an alligator egg just lying about and we could incubate it, just send it down to the MPK and we'll
reimburse you.
Yeah, okay.
What I would tell you to look out for is obviously smart pot's not the only variant. It's not the only fabric pot out there. But what you want to be careful of is that there's going to be cheap imitations. Now, these cheap imitations may have Velcro. They may have stitching where you have parts of the pot or the fabric protruding out. Or you may have folds over the top of the pot that are then stitched down. Smart pot has none of these. The reason why? Because you have pests and disease. Now, Velcro, any bits of protruding fabric that have been stitched together and any bits that have folded back on themselves, make an ideal habitat for the spider mite, for the thrips, and any other pest and disease. I just said that again, pest and disease, didn't I?
Pest.
Chicks and dicks last week. Pest and disease. Fucking hell. Anyway, it's an ideal habitat for spider mites and other pests. And that's what you get from cheap fabric pots. So don't go stingy. If you want to stingy, just stick with your plastic pots. If you're actually looking to improve your grow, get a proper fabric pot. One of them is a smart pot.
And there's a lot of research to show that if children grow their own fruit and veg, they're much more likely to eat it. Now, kids who get sprouts from the shop, very, very unlikely to want to eat them. But if they grew their plant and they grew the sprouts, and then he saw them raising from seed to the full plant, pick them off, hook them, they're much more likely to eat it because they know where it comes from. And it's really important that parents get children growing more plants because it's a great activity.
Yeah, absolutely. And hydro is good for that because kids have no patience. Soil is too slow. They don't see the difference. difference, really. Yeah. They have to wait for months. Hydro, they come every morning in class and the plant has changed. It's a little bit bigger. The roots are a little bit bigger. So they're all enthusiastic about it.
Exactly. That's exactly my point as well. Don't let them get bored. Keep it snappy.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what hydroponics do. Seeing the stages of growth very quickly. Now, just before we finish, I'd like to pick your brain for your three top tips for growing. What could you, three top tips for our customers for growing in hydroponics? Three absolute essential quality nuggets of information.
Okay, well, there is one thing that is the basic for hydro, and it's really even the only one secret about hydro. It works because we oxygenate the water. So my first tip would be to always choose or design a system that is very well oxygenated and that circulates all the time. Circulation is the big secret. Oxygenation is the big secret.
Yeah.
All the passive system with wicks and stuff like that don't work very well. So it's really, I cannot stress it too much. Oxygenation, that's really the first one. The second one, it's like, would be the same in soil. Choose carefully the variety of plant. If one thing you can do with hydro is to really unlock all the genetic potential of a plant, but the plant cannot give you more than its genetic potential.
Yeah.
So the choice of your genetics of your plant is really crucial. It's very extremely important. And the third one would be not to rely too much on books, even on, not even on mine. Look at your plant.
Yeah.
Don't forget, don't listen to people. Sing by yourself. Look at your plant. Try to gather a sense of when your plant is healthy. Try to gather a sense of what your plant is telling you, you know? Rather than looking in a book to say, is my pH okay? Is my EC okay? How is my plant? What is my plant telling me? Is my plant is growing with joy, or is my plant is looking a little bit sad? And then if it's looking a little bit sad, okay, let's see all the parameter, everything. And just don't think only in terms of pH and EC. There's a lot more.
Yeah.
There's humidity, there is light, there is ventilation, there is so many other parameters. So look at it.
Oh, that's, they are three brilliant tips, especially like your third one. Really just look at your plant and see what your plant's saying.
Exactly.
Because everybody's going to have a different environment. We all grow in different countries. So really, three brilliant tips. Oxygenate your water and really think about your circulation. Choose the genetics. Very good tip. Obviously, you can aim to get the most out of your plant, but it can only give you what it's going to give you from its genetics. And third,
spend time with your plants.
Spend time with your plants, exactly.
Spend that time with your plants.
That is very important. William, it's been an absolute honour to have interviewed you. Is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
Well, no, just wish everybody very good success in growing. And growing is very rewarding. It's a source of joy, you know. It doesn't have to be a burden. It's got to be a joy. And if you do it joyfully, it will show in the way your plant will respond to you. And if you really need it, read a book.
Good stuff. Okay, most importantly now, if people want to buy the book, which you definitely should, where can they buy it from?
I think it's almost everywhere in all the grow shops in...
It's in our one.
Yeah, and in all good grocery shops in England. I think it's also in Amazon and all...
Large book retailers.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So it should not be difficult to find it.
And do you have anything online?
On the publisher side, Mama Edition.
Yeah.
To Mama, MAMA Edition.
Okay, good stuff.
You'll find...
Facebook or anything for people to follow?
I do not. Personally, I'm trying to. I'm too old for that.
You put too much time into writing quality books to be messing around on Facebook. So, William, once again, thank you very much for your time.
You're most welcome. And that was my pleasure to be with you.
Speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Now, with the metal halides, I'm sure all of our listeners have heard of metal halides, but there's the new ceramic metal halides. What are they about?
It's a really, really, really nice lamp. I love it. It's a Philips development. Philips is one of the market leaders in making efficient ceramic metal halide lamps. A ceramic metal halide is nothing else than a metal halide. The only thing that's different is the arc tube. The arc tube is made of the same material that we use for making an HBS bulb. It's a ceramic material instead of a glass material, which means it's much more stable and it uses a lot less light. So while a metal halide lamp has maybe a light maintenance over a year of about 70-65%, a ceramic metal halide has a light maintenance of about 90-94%. It's not as much as HBS still, but the light maintenance of ceramic metal halide is dramatically better than metal halide. Okay. The second difference is they're much more efficient. The new Philips 315 CDM does about 1.9 micromoles per watt. Micromoles is worth a different subject. Go on the internet and read about it, yeah?
But 1.9 is very good.
That's good. You know, HPS still does 2.1 micromoles per watt, which is a little bit better. But you know, the spectrum of the metal halide is, the ceramic metal halide in this case, is a lot better.
Okay.
Obviously, it has more blue in it, so especially for a veg, it's a great lamp. There's one disadvantage, it's only available in 315 watts, not in 1000 watts. So any large room, you would never outfit with a 315 watt lamp. For example, if I have a 3x6, in which I would use like maybe 10,000 watt lamps, I would need like 35 to 40 of those 315 watt lamps. You're never going to buy like that many fixtures for that space. But for the small grower, for a small vegetative growth, it's a great lamp. I would totally recommend it. We do not carry it, but there are enough manufacturers to carry it. You see, I'm here to give information,
exactly,
not to promote my brand.
That's why we love you, Theo.
So 350 is nice lamp. One disadvantage. The advantage of the new ceramic metal halide is that it is a double jacket lamp. So it's suitable for an open fixture. The fixtures are not very cheap, but I think it's worth every penny because it's a good good light. It does not emit any UV, which is a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing is because according to lighting rules, if you're in a public area, you don't want a lot of UV, but your plants actually love UVs. They stimulate terpenes, they stimulate flavonoids. They make a much more tasty crop. Actually, they harden the plant off, they thicken the leaves, you know. So UV, what they get outside, is actually a good thing for a plant. Neither HPS nor metal halide, if it's a good lamp, because it should be shielded for UV, nor a ceramic metal halide, which is a double jacket lamp, emits any UV.
Okay.
So that's something you got to keep in mind. There are alternatives, but we come to that later.
Well, with 13.8 billion years of evolution, I think plants have got it sussed with what they like in terms of lighting. Now, are there any types of bulbs that replicate sunlight? What's the bulb that replicates the sunlight the best?
Well, it's obvious it's a plasma light. I mean, the plasma light is based on how the sun functions, actually. It's a plasma the same as the sun. If you've never seen a plasma light, go online and see how small this lamp is. It's a sort of a tic-tac. And in this small tic-tac, there's the same reaction that you have at the sun. The plasma is formed. It's heated by sort of a microwave driver. It becomes about 6,500 degrees Kelvin. Really, really hot. The same heat as the sun. So you would think that it would be a really hot lamp. But the vortex, that little vortex, is maybe about a millimeter, 2 millimeters small. You can't even see it. But it emits such an intense light. And because it's what we call a molecular light, it's not an atomic light. Which means, for example, sodium. It's a specific frequency. It's a yellow light, completely yellow. If you put it under pressure, the spectrum widens. But this light, it works like the sun. It gives a full spectrum because it works on the radiant heat of molecules instead of atoms. So everything from UVC, which we shield actually, to far red, is emitted in about the same proportions as the sun.
So far, the show's been excellent. Very, very well received. And it's been exciting because a lot of the growers have been coming directly to our booth and been very excited about the products. And we don't do a lot of marketing on our products. And this is important because we've always relied on word of mouth as a marketing tool. And our growers that use our products tell their friends and tell their friends, and we're seeing great success. And for over 20 years, that's how we built the company. We haven't been the flashy company throwing interesting ads and you know, marketing subpar products. We've been built on serious science and quality products. And that's how we've always worked on the products. We put the money into the products instead of marketing.
Yeah. Well, as our listeners and our subscribers know, they know what MPK and our podcast, what we stand for.
It's really important to note that whole root ball breathes. So I'm very, very fond of the Geopot. We're the exclusive Canadian distributor for Geopot. And they do a lot of things differently. They've got beds. They've got individual pots. They're square on the bottom, so they stack beautiful in tables. It's a great product. And their sister company, Rhizoflora, make Terpinator. And when that first came out, I did a lot of testing on it personally, and I passed it within our network, and we tested it. And we were really impressed with the product.
For those, we mentioned Terpinator before, and I believed it was Green Plant Nutrients that were the makers of it. So for those that are listening, that want to listen out to Terpinator, we're going to have Terpinator on hopefully in a few minutes, or what will be your second episode, and we're going to talk much more in depth about Terpinator because it's a product that really deserves a bit more attention, doesn't it? So if you're listening out for that, we're going to have that in our next episode, so definitely listen out for that one. And back to the Geopots, something that my customers like to know: can they reuse them? Are they washable?
Certainly, yeah. A little bit of OxyClean, throw them in the dishwasher, clothes washer, and 100% reusable. They're actually built really, really well.
So what did you think of that then? That was from 2014 and 2015 and covered about, we took some of the best bits from 30 podcasts. So that's the end of podcast 158. And we'll be back next week with some more top tips, best bits, and the funny parts from me, Thomas, Barry, and our special guests. Have a great day. Follow us on Instagram if you're not already, at NPK_hydroponics. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already, which is just the NPK show. And yeah, we'll be back next week. Who here liked the jingle, by the way, at the beginning? Does anyone remember that jingle? Hey, it was shit, wasn't it? Fucking hell. Coates, thank God Coates is here to make us some proper music now. Just like I said at the beginning, if you've got any messages, just because we're not here doing podcasts live every sort of week, just don't think that we're not here. Send us your messages if you've got any problems. Phone the shops if you've got any issues. And we'll see you all in September. Have a great month of August. And I'll see you all soon. Bye-bye.